and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and their cupbearers, and his accent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said unto the king, It was a true report that I heard in my own land of my acts, of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, a half was not told to me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servant, which stand continually before thee, and that heart by wisdom, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loveth Israel forever, and therefore made he thee king to do judgments and justice. And he gave, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices, and of very great store, and the precious stones that came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, this portion that we are read in Scripture this morning, and you have given to our preacher this morning, I pray that you be with him. I pray, Lord, that you this morning would speak to our hearts, and you give us hearts that would listen and be surrendered to your will. Thank you for our preacher. We pray you be with him in this time, Lord, and just help him as he preaches to us. And Father, we thank you for you and for what you have done for us. If there's someone here today that's not saved, that's not know you as their personal Savior, that today they may make that wonderful decision of accepting you as their personal Savior. So be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. I'm also going to read one more passage of Scripture. You don't need to turn to it, but Matthew chapter 12, verses 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. If I was to have a title, I think actually my title this morning is kind of twofold. It would be, one of them would be, there is a greater than Solomon here, but also I would say there's nobody like him. You know, I got thinking about Thanksgiving. It is that Thanksgiving season again. It's hard to believe that 2008 is just about ended and we're ushering in a new year. Unbelievable. And I just got thinking, this is not really a Thanksgiving message, but this morning the message is going to brag about Christ. Of course, that's what we do here. Everything we do here at Faith Baptist Church is Christ-centered. It's all about Jesus, the preaching, the music. Everything we do here is always going to keep our focus on Christ. But tonight I want to kind of brag on him a little bit in several different areas. And by way of introduction, you know, no doubt most of us all have met someone who has left you in awe. You know, there's a sense about them that causes you to say there's no one like that person. You know, of course, in our recent election, our president-elect Barack Obama, regardless of what he means to anyone here this morning, let me just stop and say this. You know, I want to just stop and say this real clear. I know people may be concerned for whatever reason, but you know, he's our president and he needs our prayers. I want to just say that, you know, whatever the case may be, whether it be John McCain or President Bush or Barack Obama or whoever, you know, the truth of the matter is he's our president, he's been elected, and let's pray for our new president-elect. But Barack Obama, regardless of what he means to anyone this morning, to millions, he left them with a feeling of awe. The whole world, if you will, if you looked at after he was projected the president-elect, you know, the whole world was in awe, and all over the country they were in awe, and the tears and so forth and so on. You know, basically what they were saying in their demeanor was there's nobody like him. You know, let me personally illustrate, you know, preachers, I've said it before, preachers are my heroes. I'm talking about men of God that will take the truth of the Word of God and convey it and preach it just as it is. I've liked to think I've lined myself up behind these great men. I've enjoyed getting close to great men, solid men of God. And I've had the privilege of sitting under some great men, men like Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Carl Hatch, Dr. Tom Malone, and I've had the privilege of course, sitting under Brother Hiles, him teaching me for 5 years in college and different things, and him being my pastor for 5 years and so forth. But I've enjoyed that and enjoyed getting as close as I can to great men of God, shaking their hand, having them sign my Bible and so forth, and so on, different things like that. They are my heroes. I walked away with a feeling that there's no preacher like them. Nobody fits their bill, if you will. There's nobody quite like him. And we all, if we admitted this morning, there's probably somebody, who knows what, maybe a sports star or a movie star. Maybe you've come across their path, you got to shake their hand and so forth, and you're kind of awestruck. I mean, that's just kind of a typical human feeling, if you will. It's not really that bad, I don't think, to be awestruck by someone as long as they don't become a god to you. But in our text, the Queen of Sheba had this kind of feeling. She felt very much the same way about King Solomon. The Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon, verse number 1, and when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions, and she came to Jerusalem with a great train, because she was a queen, and you could see all her riches and so forth, and probably no doubt very fair to look on, a beautiful woman, but with camels and bare spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him that was in all of all that was in her heart. And she had heard about the fame of Solomon. She was going to take a trip and take some hard questions with her to ask Solomon. She came bearing gifts, camel that bear spices, much gold and precious stones. The Bible says that she communed with him. She asked him all her hard questions that she had prepared. Solomon answered all her questions. And when the queen saw all and heard all, she said, "It is true what I have heard about you." She actually saw it. She heard about it. She wanted to go see it. She wanted to see this man Solomon in his glory and his riches, if you will. And she was awestruck. And I heard about your acts, she said, and your wisdom. I didn't necessarily believe it until I saw, behold, a half has not been told. Ultimately, what she was saying, there's nobody like him. Years later, when Christ, in our text that I read in Matthew 12:42, he brought up this event between the Queen of Sheba and the King of Solomon, and King Solomon, and he reminded his listeners, though Solomon was truly great and full of wisdom and power, that he was even greater than Solomon. If an earthly king can leave a queen astounded by his glory, his wisdom, his power, his wealth, how much more can King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, how much more can he amaze us? How much more can he put us in awe? You know, let me just say this. When you walk into his presence, and you can walk into his presence because he's left the Holy Spirit with us, "I will not leave you comfortless," the Bible says, "that I will come to you." And how does he come to you? The Comforter, the Bible teaches, is the Holy Spirit, and he's left him with us. But when you stand in the presence of your God, the holy and living God, between you, your Bible reading, your prayer life, boy, that ought to amaze us. Boy, that really, really ought to amaze us. And we ought to feel in awe that God allows us. You know, human beings, robed in flesh, makes mistakes, sinners saved by the grace of God, you know, but how wonderful it is to be able to stand in the presence of an almighty God. And we do, let me just say this, we do serve a great God. And of course, the Queen of Sheba, she says, "There's nobody like him. Half has not been told." Boy, wow, it was amazing. And she was left in awe. And let me tell you something, we serve an awe-inspiring Savior. We serve an awe-inspiring King. King Solomon was a testimony, if you will, of how good God is. Just as the Queen was awestruck by Solomon, just as she was in amazement of his own power, just as she left him basically thinking there's nobody like him, I want you to know there's nobody like our Savior Jesus. There's no other God like him. There's no king. There's no president. There's no prime minister. There's no earthly power like our Savior this morning. This morning, I want to say, I want to ask you, have you heard about our Savior? Maybe from surfing the channels on TV and you saw some religious figure, if you will, get up and talking about Jesus. Maybe you've heard him from some friend or some neighbor. Maybe you got a tract left in your door from the church, if you will. Maybe someone at work had mentioned him to you before. Maybe this may be the first time you've ever heard about our wonderful King, King Jesus, our Savior. Maybe you've been to church before and you've heard about him, but let me ask you a question. Have you done anything about what you have heard about him? Have you ever gone ahead and asked him to be your personal Lord and Savior? Have you made him your Savior? Have you asked him into your heart? Or have you deliberately said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want it at this particular time. I know people who have just knowingly turned their back on God. They know that he's the King of Kings. They know that he's the Lord of Lords. They know that he's the Savior of all the world. They know that all they had to do is simply accept him into their heart and they'd have eternal life. But I know people that have literally turned their back on God. I think of the thief on the cross. There was one that accepted Jesus Christ. They heard they saw, if you will, the gospel, the salvation plan in action right there. Jesus on the cross, watched him die, shed every drop of his blood. One accepted him, but the other one on the other side rejected Christ. And the one that accepted him said, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the other one, because of his rejection, died and went into an eternal, Christless eternity, which the Bible calls hell. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you heard about Jesus? Have you asked him into your heart, or have you deliberately pushed him away? Maybe you say, I want to see for myself. My friend, it doesn't take much to look around and see the glory of our Savior. It doesn't take much. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, that very familiar verse, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Step outside, and in the autumn, you get to take a look at the evidence of his majesty, looking at the pretty colors and the fall leaves, if you will. In the wintertime, you get to look at the beautiful snow. I know not everybody likes snow, but it's part of the four seasons here in New England, but you get to look at the beautiful snow clinging onto the tree branches after a snowstorm. In the springtime, look at the newness of life come back into the beautiful creation that he has created. The green grass and the leaves of the leaves on the trees and the fresh air showing a sign of life. Hey, summertime, he provides the warmth of the sunshine and the nice warm air and the nice warm beach days, if you will. Look at the picturesque blue skies. Hear the birds sing. See the deer play in the field. Smell the beautiful flowers. Think of the friends and the family God has given you. Look at what he has supplied for you. Certainly God has been a good God. And there's a greater than Solomon here. What I'm saying is the evidence of God is all around us. You know, whenever I look at his beautiful creation, I take it personally. You know, I happen to take it personally, and I love the fall. The fall is probably my favorite time of year, and I love stepping out. And, of course, I don't know if there's been a fall in a long time that had such vibrant colors as this year. You know, it's all gone by now, but I don't know if there was a fall in the last few years, an autumn time that was just so beautiful, and it was just nice to be able to walk around the churchyard during them times just when the leaves are right there and beautiful in color. Every time I looked at it, I say, God, I take that personally. You put that tree there for me. You know, and the truth of the matter is you ought to take his creation personally. You know what? I take it that he says, hey, you know what? I know, Sean, that you like the autumn, and that tree is there because I love you. You know, we serve a personal God, my friend. You know what? Maybe if you like the winter time and so forth, and you got to admit, after a snowstorm, there's no more beautiful picture when the snow is hanging onto them trees, and you walk down, you're walking through, it almost looks like a icicle little town, you know, and all the pretty ice and different things. You know, there's nothing really more beautiful than that. No, we don't like to go out in it and slip and slide and have to clean up all the snow and so forth, but the truth of the matter is, you take a look. You know, only God could put that there, and he put it there for you, my friend. He put it there for you, saying he loves you. His creation certainly is something, and I take it personally. You know, the Queen of Sheba had to travel 1,200 miles to Israel to evidence the power of King Solomon. All we have to do is simply step outside and look at his creation. All we had to do was get up this morning and simply thank God for the breath that he gave you. Hey, he gave you another day to breathe. He gave you another day to go ahead and serve him. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we serve a great God. The Bible teaches that when she saw, she was convinced of his power. She saw Solomon in all his glory, and all his splendor, and all his riches and different things, and his wisdom. And she was convinced of his power and glory. She says in verse number 9 of our text in 1 Kings, chapter 10, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. You know, God certainly delighted in you, Solomon, and she saw his testimony, and she saw it all. My friend, this morning, may I remind you that there is nobody like our Savior, and there is a greater than Solomon here, that is Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few thoughts here this morning. There's nobody like him in salvation. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other God that can go ahead and save you but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. John 14:6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's nobody like him in salvation. There is no God like the true and living God, God who made salvation possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. The only hope for heaven, my friend, this morning is only through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not the church, though the church, it's nice to be in church this morning. It's not all that we can do, all that we can attain, all that we can give and so forth. The only way we can get to where God is, the only way to get through to where get to heaven is only through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I said it again, I repeat it. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's not very broad there. It's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, the only hope for heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, God wants to give you the gift of eternal life if you have not done so already. And when he gives you that gift of eternal life, it's a gift that you can have forever. Nobody can ever take it away. And he wants to give you that gift this morning. My friend, have you been saved this morning? Don't push him away. Don't wait another minute if you do not know him. Don't treat him like he's a fairy tale. He's not a fairy tale, my friend. He's real. His power is real. There's nobody like him. Just don't treat him like he's a fairy tale. Everyone's going to bow to him one day. Doesn't matter who we are in this room this morning, everyone's going to go ahead and bow to him. Romans chapter 14, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. You know, that's very, very broad. Everybody is going to bow to our Savior one day. We can go ahead and reject him like that, thief on that cross went ahead and rejected Christ. But let me tell you something. He's remembering that day on that cross when he could have accepted Jesus Christ. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will bow at the judgment seat of God one day. We will all face him. It doesn't matter who we are in this room this morning. We're all going to face him one day. Even those who reject him on this earth will go ahead and face him one day. I know that there are people today that reject God. They don't want anything to do with God. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who they are, how notable they are, how rich they are. It doesn't matter who they are. And the Bible says, and God's word be true. God's word is true. Let me tell you something. Every knee is going to go ahead and bow to God one day. What I'm saying this morning, don't put off salvation. Don't treat him like he's a fairy tale. He loves you and he wants to save you this morning if you don't know him as Savior. It will be too late to get saved at the judgment seat of Christ. I think if there's ever going to be tears in heaven, and there isn't, the Bible says there's no tears in heaven. But you know, God the Father sent his only Son Jesus to die on the cross. Why? So that we could have eternal life. And one day when we face the judgment seat, and we all will, you know, if there was maybe ever any tears that God would have wanted to shed and Jesus, the Son of God, would ever shed, boy, I think that would be a very hurtful time. Because the Bible says in Revelation, and I'm going to turn to it, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, you can turn to it if you'd like. Verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Sad verses, but they're true. And I'm not trying to scare anybody this morning. God's word is true. And let me tell you something. The same love that God bestowed upon me, he bestows it upon you, my friend, because he loves you. But if there's ever going to be any tears in heaven, it's when the books are going to be open and the book of life is going to be open and so forth. And if there's ever any tears is maybe we come to God and we're all going to bow. The Bible says we're all going to bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue's going to confess who he is. And we're going to look back maybe at the time that we maybe sat in a church service, or maybe at the time where someone knocked on your door and they tried to show you from the Bible how to be saved. Or maybe a time when someone went ahead and they gave you a gospel tract. Let me tell you something. You're going to go back to that time and you're going to say, hey God, I remember Yeah, but all you did was take the track. You never read it, and you never did what it says. All you did was listen to the gospel, but you never went ahead and took heed and asked Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, once I got saved, you know what? My name was written into the book of life, and it's written, by the way, in pen. It can't be erased. And let me tell you something. When that book is open at that judgment seat, he's going to look, and if he doesn't see your name there, I think if there was ever any tears, I think I would shed tears because of all that Jesus did. And he thinks, you see the nail-scarred hands, and if there was ever going to be any tears, he would say, hey, depart from me, for I never knew you, your work of iniquity. And the Bible says that those without Christ, they will be cast in the lake of fire. Hey, let me tell you, my friend, the same love that God gave me, he's given to you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today ought to be the day of salvation. The Bible says that. Hey, there's nobody like him in salvation. I plead with you this morning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hey, my friend, our God is real. And maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're feeling something in your heart. It's not me, but it might be the Holy Spirit pricking your heart. And he may want you to make a decision this morning. I plead with you this morning. Won't you accept Jesus as your personal Savior this morning? Hey, there's nobody like him in salvation. But there's also nobody like him in his wealth. You know, the queen came and experienced Solomon's wealth. Solomon never had to worry about a bill to pay. He never had to worry about making ends meet. I'm sure all of us could put ourselves there. Oh, man, sometimes it's more month than money. Amen. And you wonder, how in the world am I going to get this car payment paid or pay this bill or different things and so forth? But let me tell you something. There's nobody like our Savior in his wealth. Our Savior, who is also wealthy, he will meet every need of yours. He can meet every need. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19a, my God shall supply all your need. That's a promise, by the way. He says he'll provide all your need. But sometimes we want the wants that go along with it. He says he'll provide your need, maybe the roof over your head. He's provided that. The clothes on your back, he's provided that. The food on your table, he's provided that. You know, he will supply all your needs if you allow him to. He can supply all your needs spiritually. He can supply all your needs physically. I've seen that. I've seen when a physical body has been engulfed with cancer and maybe other illness. I've seen God go ahead and heal and supply the need there. Let me tell you something. He'll supply your need physically. He'll supply your need materially. My God has a whole checkbook full of blessings that he wants to bestow upon you this morning. Nobody's like him in his wealth. The Bible says in Psalm 50:10-12, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all and they that dwell therein. I thank God. You know what that tells me? I belong to God. Boy, there's no safer place to be, to belong to, no better person to belong to than God Almighty, the one that went ahead and spoke this world into existence, the one that preserved the very word of God, the one that loved you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. But what security we have by being a child of God this morning. I thank God I'm his. My friend, this morning, there's not a need that our God cannot fill. There's not a bill that he cannot pay. There's not an illness that he cannot heal. He has it all. Trust him by faith and believe that he'll care for you. I'm not in need, by the way, I'm not in need of anything this morning. My needs are supplied. You know, I've got my coat on my back, and I've got my clothes, and I've got my roof, and I've got my Ford little Windstar that I can drive around, amen. And the truth of the matter is I've got food that I can eat, maybe a little bit too much of it, amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, all my needs are met. But like I mentioned a moment ago, sometimes we just get kind of frustrated when we don't get what we want. You know, he said he'd supply your needs. Our needs list, if you will, are clothing, food, and raiment. 1 Timothy chapter 6 through 8 says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know what contentment is? Being satisfied with what God gave you. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know, I don't have much. I don't have a huge bank account. I don't have a whole lot of money in my pocket. Every time I make an illustration like that, I am broke. Okay? I don't have a whole lot of money in my pocket. My checkbook's not the biggest thing in the world. But let me tell you something. I have my family. I have my God. I have the Word of God. I have the roof over my head. I have my health. I have my children. I have my clothes. I have my job. Hey, you know what? God's been very good to me. Let me tell you something. He's been very good to you as well. Boy, we need to be content with what we have. Our wants are the toys and the multiple cars and the fancy clothes. And praise God if you receive them things. I'm still waiting for that 2009 Ford Mustang to come showing up in my parking lot. Still waiting. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? My needs are met, my friend. My needs are met. If you've got your health, your roof, your clothes, your job, you know, that's really true wealth. And our God is definitely supplying. You know, most people in the world today, if they drove the car that you drove, they wore the clothes that you wear on your back, and they ate the food that you ate, and lived under the roof that you lived under, they would consider themselves wealthy. If most people in this world, you go outside the boundaries of the United States, some of these third world countries. You know, and sometimes we sit, well, woe is me, you know. I have only a quarter of a tank of gas in my car. I only have a few dollars in my pocket. I have this little shack of a house, maybe a few torn up, whatever the case may be. You have a little bit of food in your table, whatever the case may be. You know what? Most people today in our world, listen to me, most people today in our society would go ahead and say, wow, you got it made. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we serve a God. There's nobody like him in his wealth. But we ought to be content and thankful for what you have. You know, part of our prayer life ought to be part of thankfulness. Part of my prayer list is just thanking God for everything that he's done. And if you sat down and take 2 minutes in your prayer time, and you just block out everything and just write down everything that you're thankful for. Let me tell you something. It wouldn't take much to have a long list in a matter of 2 minutes, 120 seconds. You know, you could have a pretty, you know, when you just sit, you know what? Husband, thank God for that wife that's sitting beside you. Wife, thank God for that husband that's sitting beside you. If you have children, thank God for your children. Thank God for your church. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God that God loved you so much that he's willing to send his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Oh, we can go on and on, can't we, my friends? But the truth of the matter is we certainly serve a God. And there's nobody like him in wealth. Nobody like him in his works. You know, the queen came and she saw the works, if you will, of Solomon. She was awed by his works. And you may feel that you have a steep mountain to climb this morning. Or maybe you're in the lowest valley of your life. And you wonder, how can I get out of this valley? It seems like every time I take 2 steps forward, I just fall back again. You've got this steep mountain to climb, this steep cliff to climb, and you feel like the valley's too low or the hill is too steep that God cannot remove it. Hey, you know what? He can remove mountains. He is mighty in his works. Just as God helped the young lad defeat the giant in his life, you know what? He can help you defeat the giant in yours. David and Goliath. You know, God used the most unlikely man to do a big job. You know, you think about it, you know the story very well, but it should have been Saul who went out and fought the giant head and shoulders above the rest, but he was a coward, he wouldn't do it. It should have been David's older brothers that went out and fought the battle and fought that big old giant and who was cursing God for 40 days. But the truth of the matter is, it was just an unlikely man who loved God, who trusted God, said, you know what? That man's not going to go ahead and mock my God. And if nobody's going to go ahead and step in the way, I'm going to watch my God work, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to defeat that big guy. And let me tell you something. You know what? He had a big giant in his life at that time. You may have a big giant right now. It might be finances. It might be health. It might be whatever the case may be. You don't know how you're going to go ahead and make it. You don't understand why this is happening. It might be a disappointment. It might be a discouragement. Whatever the case may be. And it may seem huge to you. But let me tell you something. God is bigger than that. And he'll go ahead, just like he did with Goliath, he'll give you the faith and he'll give you the strength to go ahead and defeat it. Go get yourself 5 smooth stones and get your slingshot out. And you go there by faith and say, I'm going to go ahead and get you. You may be laughed at. You may be mocked at. But let me tell you something. Any giant that's in your life, let me tell you something, there's nobody like him in his works. God's right there beside you. You know what? You and God make a majority, my friend. The world can mock at your Christianity. The world can go ahead and mock at the fact that you may go to church on Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. The world may go ahead and mock you if you're unsaved and you become a child of God. So what? Let the world go ahead and mock. But let me tell you something. You know what? You and God make a majority. And boy, there's no better man. There's no better one to be teamed up with than God Almighty. Hey, you know what? He is. There's nobody like him in his works. No, cancer can be won by the mighty hand of God. Heartaches can be lifted by the mighty hand of God. Sadness can turn to laughter by his mighty hand. Discouragement can become encouragement by his mighty hand. What I'm trying to say, there's no burden or struggle that's too big for God. Nothing. There's nobody like him in his works. Who can resurrect from the dead? God. Who can go ahead and heal the sick, lame, and blind? God. Who can go ahead and give us the power to be saved, God. Hey, there's no one like him in his works. You know, the one who spoke this world in existence, the one who has the same power to heal, to encourage you, lift you up, and he's the one that set you up on a rock. You know, Psalm chapter 40, I love this, and every once in a while, I turn to this. When I just need encouragement, a little shot in the arm, I just turn to these verses. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined my ear. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up, verse 2, and he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, maybe you're here this morning, and you feel like, I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to go ahead and get through it. You know, maybe the only little reprieve and the only little bit of relief was you just coming and being under the fellowship with God's people this morning and hearing the word of God taught and preached. Maybe that gave you a little bit of encouragement right now, but as soon as you walk out them doors, you feel like it's going to go ahead and swamp you once again. And let me tell you something. You know, the psalmist, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined my ear, and he heard my cry. You know, maybe you're crying out this morning. Maybe you're just wondering, I don't know, preacher, how I can go ahead and make it. Let me tell you something. He'll hear your cry. He'll be attentive to your call. There's nobody like him in his works. And there's nobody like him in his wisdom. You know, the queen asked hard questions, the Bible says. And Solomon answered them all. God holds all the answers to your questions. He can answer all the questions and problems of your life. If you let him. We have the preserved words of God right here. His wisdom is represented all through the book. Read the book of Proverbs. Much, much, much good wisdom and knowledge that you can learn from that. But we must read it, and we must love it, and we must study it. You know, you've got to get your encouragement from the word of God each and every day. If you're going to go ahead and make it day after day, you've got to be in the word of God. You've got to chew on the words of God, so to speak, and you've got to apply them to your life, and you've got to put them in your heart, and you've got to allow God to go ahead and do a great work. You know, it might be good before you just do your casual Bible reading. Maybe we just read our Bible just because it's duty, and that's fine. If that's the only reason why you read your Bible, then do it. But the truth of the matter is, before you go ahead and you read your Bible in your quiet time, say, God, I need something from your word. Holy Spirit, give me something. God, would you please speak to me, Holy Spirit? I need your strength this morning. This is happening in my life, but this is happening. God, I need your strength. Let me tell you something. He'll give you strength in his word this morning. You can ask him the toughest questions. He will, and he will answer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, let me tell you something. He is on call 24/7, 365 days a year. He doesn't take a holiday off. He doesn't take a vacation. There's no days off with God. He'll hear your beck and call this morning. He'll go ahead and give you the wisdom that you need. He'll give you the knowledge that you need. He'll give you what you need, but you got to go ahead and just go to him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And you know, then lastly, to this morning, there's nobody like him in worship. No other Savior like the one and only Savior. He alone can bring you into his Father's presence. He bridges the gap between God and man. And there's no God like the living God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. You say, well, preacher, you've said that over and over because I know it's true. I know I've seen him work miracles even in my own life and in our family's life, and I've seen how good a God that he's been. Let me tell you something. There's no other God, no better God to serve than the true and mighty God. Hey, you know what he is? There's nobody like him in worship. I'm reminded of when the temple was built. Turn to 2 Chronicles. I preached on this a couple weeks ago, but I just kind of went right to it this morning, just going over my message again. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'll read a few verses here. First, 1 through 3. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. All you picture with me, and I mentioned it the other night, but the truth of the matter is, after the temple was rebuilt, the temple had been destroyed, and David wanted to rebuild it, Solomon's dad, but Solomon was ultimately the man that went ahead and rebuilt the temple there in Israel, and he rebuilt, and after Solomon had prayed, the Bible says the glory of God filled all the house. Boy, what power and what majesty that must have been. And the children of Israel were out there. They got to experience it. They saw, the Bible says, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter in. Even the preachers, if you will, of that day, they couldn't enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord was so much. It filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, that fire is a picture of the Holy Spirit, came down, the glory of the Lord and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves down. You know what? The majesty and the glory was so great that when they saw the fire of God come down and consume that house, you know, all they could do was simply get down on their knees and bow down and worship and praise him. Hey, let me tell you something. There's no other great God that you can serve. Hey, there's nobody like our Savior in worship this morning. Hey, my friend, let me tell you something. I said it about this before. How I want our church to go ahead and be a lighthouse for Jesus, and how we must have the glory of God to shine through our church here, and how we must have the fire of God preached, and how we must have the word of God preached. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we need to fall down, and boy, the glory of God ought to be so great in our life that we fall down and we worship him. And the Bible teaches they just worshiped him for days. Hey, you know, the truth of the matter is, my friend, there's nobody like him in worship. There's nobody like him in worship. We serve a great God. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But you know, I kind of stood back from being what God wants me to be. It might have been a little while since you've opened up the Word of God for yourself, and you've chewed on the things of God, so to speak, and you've just fallen in love with the Word of God. It might have been a while since you've gone ahead and opened up the Word of God for yourself. Hey, let me plead with you, my friend, this morning. If you're a child of God, maybe you're a little bit backslidden. Why don't you come to this morning and just say, you know what, today I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to line myself up with where God wants me to be. Let me tell you something, my friend, because it's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Boy, we serve a great God, church. Maybe here today, my friend, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you've got that little feeling in your heart, and let me tell you something, my friend, that's the Holy Spirit of God just nudging you. And the Bible says that now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Won't you come to become a child? Won't you come and become a child of God today? Don't go ahead and put them off. You know, the truth of the matter is we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next few hours. Oh, I want the next few hours, and I want tomorrow. I love life. But the truth of the matter is, our life is but a vapor, the Bible says. And God's the one that ultimately controls our next breath, our next hour, our next day. Maybe here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something, there's nothing like him in salvation. And I plead with you, irregardless of what somebody may think, irregardless of what somebody may think at the invitation, you feel that tug in your heart. I want to be saved. I want to be a child of God. Maybe you're here this morning. Don't worry about what others think. You step out and say, and you come shake my hand and say, preacher, I want to become a child of God. Can you show me how? And we'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Hey, my friend, again, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't know where you are, where you are spiritually this morning, my friend. You're saved, but maybe you've wandered far away from God. Why don't you come home today? Why don't you come back, if you will, to the fold again? You know what? There's no better, safest place than to be right where God wants you to be. Hey, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him in salvation, in wealth, in his works, in wisdom, and in worship. Where are you at today? The Queen of Sheba. Oh, she heard about Solomon. Bible teacher, she heard about him. And she wanted to go and see what it was all about. And you know, the Bible says that when she saw all, let me just read a few verses in our text, and then I'm through. She sat at the meat of his table and the sitting in verse number 5 of his servants and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land. I heard about it of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half has not been told. You know, the Queen of Sheba was saying, there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Nobody like our Savior this morning. I don't know where you're at, but in just a moment, the music's going to play. We have an invitation. The Holy Spirit's working on your heart this morning. I plead with you, don't delay. Maybe Christian is, he wants you to take another step forward. Maybe Christian, he wants you to come back to his fold, so to speak. You've just wandered far away. But maybe you just need to come back. Maybe here today, my friend, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Boy, on that first note, in just a moment, you step out and you come and you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, sure to love you. I wanted to just kind of brag about you this morning, Jesus, and I did the very best I could. Lord, I'm human, I'm frail. And God, Holy Spirit, I thank you for meeting with us this morning. God, we do serve a good God. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for supplying all our needs. I thank you, God, for your wisdom, and I thank you for your works, and I thank you for always showing up. You never take a day off. I thank you, God, for being there all the time. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And you said you'd show me great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Now, God, I pray that maybe there's some unsaved ones here this morning. They need to simply call unto you. They don't know you as personal Savior, but I pray today would be the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed another day. And maybe there's some Christians here. Maybe there's some church members here that today they have to make a decision. There's something in their life that needs to be dealt with this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll just move mightily on their hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. As a matter of fact, I'm a church member. But you say, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I will never call you by name. I'm not going to go ahead and call you out, but you say, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. Would you please pray for me? I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, but God spoke to my heart. Here's my hand. Anybody, there you are. Anybody else? God spoke to my heart this morning. There you go. Anybody else? Anybody else? There you go. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I want to know. You know, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, he wants to save you. You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know if I'm saved, but I'd like to be saved today. Here's my hand. Anybody at all, just raise it up. I won't call you by name. I will not embarrass you. I want to become a child of God today. That's me, anybody. All right, our Heavenly Father. You saw the hands. You know the hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we have an invitation, God, that on the first note, whatever decision needs to be made, it will be made this morning between you and that individual. I pray, God, that you bless. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Music's going to go ahead and play I Surrender All. Maybe you got to surrender something this morning. Maybe your will. Whatever the case may be, won't you decide this morning? Whatever it is, you step out. The music's going to play. That's it. I don't know where you are spiritually, but why don't you step out this morning? Whatever it is, don't delay. You know, Jesus as your Savior, you don't know for sure you're a child of God. Maybe you'd like to be saved this morning. Won't you this morning decide, I want to be a child of God. I want to have eternal life in heaven. That's it. That's it. Music's still playing. You know there's something in your heart that needs to be dealt with this morning. Won't you deal with it? Sean, why don't you take Miss Ruth's place in closing in prayer? Brother Robles, would you come on up here and close in prayer for us? There's still business being done at the altar. We're not going to rush them. So I'd ask you just to maybe stay away from the front as long as business needs to be taken care of. That's fine. Okay, Brother Robles, would you close?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message this morning. Lord, thank you that it's all about you, Lord. And Father, thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross that we may have eternal life. Keep this thought ever in our hearts, Lord, that we're here because of you. Lord, we thank you for every visitor that's come this morning. We pray you be with them. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's here this morning. We pray that in a special way, Lord, you bring us back this evening. We might hear, Lord, again from the Word of God and be lifted up in our hearts. Help us always to be drawn to you, Lord Jesus. And Father, to do your will. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.